Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel, that's Hammer over there, and Hammer and I, we usually differ politically, but I think one thing you and I both can agree on, Hammer, is that staying in for New Year's Eve is the best way to go.
I'm getting the pizzas, getting the beer on ice at home, my kids have some buddies coming over for a sleepover, we're going to have a Madden tournament, watch a little college football, and avoid all the drunken idiots and the amateur hour that's taking place out on the roads.
Why is it amateur hour? What's that mean?
I call New Year's Eve and like the night before Thanksgiving amateur hour if you're going out to party.
St. Patrick's Day.
Right. So many people go out those nights that don't normally go out.
Right.
And they don't normally know how to hold their booze, but they're doing it because it's the social convention. So you've got people going out, boozing it up, not knowing when to say when. A lot of these idiots are going to drive home. If I don't have to be involved in that, man, I'll take a rain check. I'm good.
Well, I mean, look, you and I haven't stayed up till midnight, past midnight on New Year's Eve for probably about 5 or 6 years now. And I don't know if that's pathetic or if I'm just getting older or if that's, I'm kind of over it by now.
Right.
I remember when I almost missed the year 2000, 99 into 2000. I drank about a fifth of Jim Beam earlier that day.
Getting ready for Y2K.
Getting ready for Y2K. And about 3 minutes till midnight, my girlfriend would, Nigel, wake up. Wake up. You're going to miss it. that's not going to happen this year because I'm going to be asleep anyway.
You're not going to miss much. You're really not. And when I was 21... around that age, it was a big deal. You'd go out, you're with your buddies, you're trying to pick up chicks, or you're with a girl. Fine, it's a different age back then. I'm 39 right now, and the thought of being around drunken 21-year-olds makes me throw up in my mouth just a little bit. I'll stay home. I'll watch football. I'll eat pizza, drink booze, and at 12:05, I'm going to bed.
Now, some of these parties they have at the hotels could be pretty cool. You could pay like $150 and... it's all you can eat and drink, right? I mean, that wouldn't interest you at all? Maybe get a hotel room with the wife and somebody watching the kids?
The idea of having to pay for a party, no thank you. I'm sorry. I've got better things to do with my money. It reminds me, again, going back to when people are younger, if you went to college and the whole fraternity thing, the whole Greek thing, never made sense to me. The idea of having to pay for friends just doesn't fly inside my head.
You mentioned you might go see a movie or two with the family this weekend.
I wouldn't mind going to see Rogue One again. I saw that.
Oh, yeah, neither would I.
A couple weeks ago.
I'd love to see it.
My youngest one, he's 8 years old. He wants to go see this movie called Sing, where it's like a cartoon and these animals are singing like Nicki Minaj songs. And it's like a karaoke American Idol kind of thing.
What did your kids think of Rogue One? Because that was a pretty intense, more darker kind of, even violent. Use the word violent. Installment in the Star Wars series. Were your kids scared? Did they get it? Did they know what was going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And my oldest is just like me. He roots for the Empire. There's a little Darth Vader in him, and he loved every minute of it. I don't want to give anything away.
Don't give anything away. But
if you're a Star Wars fan and maybe you're on the fence of maybe I should go see this. I don't know any of the characters because I was like that. Go see it. I'm telling you right now.
Well, here's the thing with Rogue One and the difference between Rogue One this year and The Force Awakens last year, which I also liked. But I like Rogue One 100 times better because it was like a more serious, darker undertone, sinister, evil. Just it really to me it wasn't as witty. There weren't as many lighthearted, funny moments as there was in The Force Awakens, which gave it a more serious tone, I thought. And I liked that.
I did, too.
I enjoy. I mean, there were a few lighthearted moments in Rogue One.
It's kind of Empire Strikes Back-esque, because that's my favorite of all the Star Wars films, Empire Strikes Back.
Exactly. It was a lot darker. Like Revenge of the Sith, those kind of middle Star Wars movies that came out in the 2000s, That was my favorite one of those three. It was really dark. And at the end of that, you know, you see Darth Vader burning alive. And
Right. Now, my favorite movie of all time is Revenge of the Nerds. But that's a different discussion.
I've got a list here. I think this is from USA Today. The top five worst movies of 2016.
According to the USA Today.
I think what they did was they compiled a list of what the critics had to say about these movies. And, I'll just give you for instance, The Choice. Remember The Choice?
No. What was The Choice?
A romantic drama about tested lovers.
No, I missed that one.
It's a Nicholas Sparks book.
I missed that one, too.
Nicholas Sparks. But it got a 12% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And then The Hollywood Reporter says, quote, The Choice is the cinematic equivalent of staring at a Hallmark card for 2 hours.
All right. Look, I got to be honest. You see way more movies than I do. I don't go to the theater all that often. Maybe one or two a year. So I'm probably not going to know any of these.
None of these on this list I would ever go see. Except for maybe one down the list here. Well, The Accountant is on here. Remember The Accountant with Ben Affleck?
Okay. I remember it coming out.
He's an accountant with high-functioning autism. And he's into superhuman math and martial arts and shooting abilities. And from what I understand, he works for the mob or something.
The counterpoint to that movie is at least it took his time away from making another Batman film.
Well, that's funny you say that because Entertainment Weekly said, quote, the whole thing's ludicrous down to the last loony twist, but it's also a lot more fun than Batman versus Superman.
Amen.
Little side note on Ben Affleck. Remember drunk Ben Affleck on Bill Simmons about Deflategate earlier this year?
Deflategate is the ultimate outrage.
You know, Ben Affleck, a huge Patriots fan, went on Bill Simmons' HBO show, which I believe has now been canceled. And it seemed to me he had like a 5 o'clock shadow. You know, he's divorced now. And it seemed to me like he was drunk on this.
Deflategate is the ultimate outrage of sports ever. It's so stupid that I can't believe you realize they gave
you realize look I know a drunk when I hear one,
yeah,
and I say Ben Affleck was a little inebriated. I can't believe you realize
they gave him a suspension.
So
you know you're drunk when you're doing two things, right, slurring, and your argument is it's stupid.
This is stupid.
So anyway, The Accountant is on the list of the top five worst movies of 2016. Have you seen Suicide Squad? Because that's on the list.
I saw Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was one of the worst five movies of the year. It wasn't phenomenal, but it was all right.
26% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. New York Post said, Suicide Squad isn't a movie. It's a two-hour trailer, a demolition derby of barely explained action and droll quips.
Well, yeah, it's also people in costumes. What do you expect? I mean, you can't have, like, serious dialogue when one of your main characters is the Joker, right? He's got a freaking suit on and green hair. What do you want? You to start reciting Shakespeare?
Possibly. I don't know. Alice Through the Looking Glass?
I got nothing.
That was, I think it's the
is that on Skinamax at 3 in the morning? Is that one of those?
Yeah, that's got a 30% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And then the one that just came out with Will Smith, Collateral Beauty, which I was surprised to learn critics were panning this because it was like some super feel good Christmas time movie. Will Smith lost his daughter and he's writing letters to God and God responds.
A lot of Will Smith in the worst of 2016 because he was also in Suicide Squad.
IndieWire says, quote, this is one holiday movie you could skip. I'd say the best of the year, man. I think you and I are both in agreement. Rogue One.
I don't see a lot of movies, but very rarely do I leave the theater going, man, that was good.
It kind of reminded me, it had that dark undertone of Blade Runner, almost, to me, from back in the day, Harrison Ford, which, by the way, there's a new trailer for Blade Runner that hit last week, I believe. And starring Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford. So I don't know if it's like a reboot or a sequel or, you know, I'm not sure, but it looks awesome.
As long as Harrison Ford's making movies, they're probably going to be successful. Even when he does his reboot stuff, it seems like they always make a ton of cash.
And by the way, then the other thing I'm looking forward to seeing in 2017 is Alien, The Covenant.
Okay, that's where I draw the line.
No,
I've had
enough
Alien.
Prometheus a couple years ago was phenomenal, and this is kind of what happens after the end of Prometheus. So there's like a Red Band trailer for the new Alien, and it looks awesome.
In 2017 as well, I think it's around December of next year, about a year from now, there'll be another Star Wars film, Episode 8.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher, the late Carrie Fisher, just had wrapped up filming that film. So she will be a part of it. We don't know the name. We don't know anything else, but her character is in that film.
So what's the plan for Star Wars? To at least release one a year in December? Is that the plan?
Every year, I guess, yeah.
Okay.
When you're making a trilogy, I guess you bang them out three in a row, right?
Coming up next, a college basketball team had some plane trouble. And I'm not talking about the kind of plane trouble on the ground when you're delayed, something goes wrong. They were 30,000 feet in the air when this happened. Tell you who it was. What happened next? The Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Scary moments up in the air last night for Butler University men's basketball team, Hammer. My name is Nigel. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. We're in for Chad Benson. I'm Nigel. That's Hammer over there. Did you hear about the Big East basketball team, Butler University, playing in New York yesterday, flying home? And I'm just going to read this from the IndyChannel.com. A plane carrying Butler University's basketball team had to make an emergency landing in Pittsburgh last night. Passengers said the plane lost cabin pressure during their flight from flight to Indianapolis from New York. Coach Chris Holtman said the plane had a rapid descent that led many players to text their families, stating they may never see them again.
Wow.
The team spent the night in Pittsburgh, took a charter bus home earlier today.
And Butler ranked in the top 25 in basketball. If you follow college basketball at all, you remember Butler made it to back-to-back championship game appearances back when head coach Brad Stevens was running the show. It's one of those schools known as a mid-major based out of Indianapolis, even though they play in the Big East, which is a big-time athletic conference. It's kind of like Gonzaga at West. Smaller school, very good academically, really good in basketball.
So when an airplane loses cabin pressure, I guess what happens is the masks come down, and then the pilot, you're so high up in the air, there's no oxygen. And so you've got to get down to like 10,000 feet as fast as you can, or everybody's going to pass out.
According to a lot of, from what the coach stated, players were texting their loved ones, saying their goodbyes. There were people crying, thinking they would never make it through. One eyewitness stated that they dropped from about 40,000 feet to 10,000 feet in less than 10 minutes. The oxygen masks came down. The airline attendants and the pilot kept shouting out over and over again, please put on your mask.
Yeah.
Please put on your mask. And ultimately, they did make it to the ground. Everybody's safe. Everybody's good. But as for me, you know, Nige, I am somewhat of a nervous flyer. If I'm on a plane and we hit a little bit of turbulence, I'm gripping onto that handrail or the seat, and you're going to have to pry it from my hands.
I was like that. I think I've kind of grown out of that a little bit. Usually when I step on an airplane, I've had a couple of cocktails, and that evens me out.
A couple meaning 13.
That soothes me over for a while, but I could definitely – I've never been in a situation – you've been on an airplane, right, where the masks – all of a sudden came down. Right?
It was an accident, but absolutely. I was flying from Indianapolis to Las Vegas, and we hit a big pocket of turbulence. I mean, the plane shook when we hit this turbulence. And when it shook, I don't know if it triggered some sort of release on the plane, but all the oxygen masks dropped down.
That's got to be startling in itself. I mean, forget about the turbulence for a minute. When the masks come down, every one of those in the plane above the seat, wow.
There's that split second between the turbulence and the masks coming down where you think, oh my God, I'm going to die. This is it. I'm done for. Luckily, much like yourself, I was 21 years old at the time, and I was hammered, just hammered drunk. So and the airline attendants quickly told everybody, hey, relax, and they fixed the situation.
Well, I'm glad the Butler Bulldogs made it down safe. You know, you could imagine family members getting texts from the basketball team at home, like saying, hey, I might not, you know, we're going down pretty quick here. I don't know if we'll be, you know, they texted their family members saying their goodbyes.
Right.
That is scary, man.
That's something that you don't normally think about. Ugh. Somebody's dad on the other end, you know, was waiting to hear back from their son, coming back from a Big East basketball game from St. John's, and you get this horrific text late in the evening where your son is saying goodbye.
Have you, Hammer, have you ever been in trouble on an airplane?
No.
You ever gotten in trouble?
I'm a complete candy ass when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I do everything by the book. You know, we had last week that story that quote-unquote YouTube star that got escorted off a flight. He said it was because he was speaking Arabic to his mom on the telephone.
But he was really just being a jag-off?
Yeah. I got one time I got a little sideways with a stewardess. I was on
that alone is funny to me.
I had some Jim Beam minis with me. I brought with me. You could get them through security. They're under 3 ounces. You're allowed to bring them on the plane. You're just not allowed to open them. And I didn't know that. So before they started, before they even started serving alcohol on this plane, is a penny pincher plane. You know, $5 if you want to put your extra luggage above. It's just really small. Allegiant. So I had already drank 3 of these little minis before we even got to 30,000 feet, and I went to throw them away. The stewardess looked at me. She's like, "You're not allowed to drink those." And I'm like, "Well, they let me through with security." She goes, "That doesn't matter. We're supposed to serve those to you. You have to buy them from us." And I looked at her. I was like, "Well, am I going to be detained?"
And
she goes, "You know what? Just do a better job of hiding it next time."
Ooh.
I had no idea. No, I'm like you, man. I am.
Am I going to be detained? You thought you were Mr. Tough
Guy.
I did.
I was feeling good. Am I going to be detained? All right. Coming up next, the best of Donald Trump, 2016. The Hammer and Nigel Show. In for Chad Benson.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel in for Chad Benson. I'm Nigel. Hammer, do we have the final results of the Hammer and Nigel Twitter poll from last night? You and I had a little debate about public executions in the United States.
Correction.
Okay.
Pay-per-view executions in the United States.
See, Hammer can sometimes be somewhat of a barbaric buffoon, and he wants to charge people a nominal fee so they can go watch an execution.
With the money benefiting the victim. I think it's a win-win for everybody. There's a dead bad guy and the family gets money.
So we put it out there at Hammer and Nigel. The poll just I've never done an official Twitter poll before. How'd we do? Who agrees with who? I don't like it. You love it.
In an odd twist of fate, I kind of feel like Hillary Clinton right here, where it seemed like all the momentum was favoring me and all the comments were favoring me. But at the end of the day, my people didn't come out to vote.
Oh, no.
62 to 38% people favoring you stating that, no, they would not watch a pay-per-view execution with the money benefiting the family.
Okay. There you go. Trump is tweeting again, right?
Yep. So just a few hours ago, Donald Trump tweets, "Great move on the delay by Putin. I always knew he was very smart." And he chased that up just a few hours ago. "Russians are playing CNN and NBC for such fools.
Wow.
Funny to watch. They don't have a clue. Fox News totally gets it." At Donald Trump. I'm sorry, real Donald Trump.
Go back to Putin's response. Do you have that in front of you there? Do you not have that? I'm sorry. I didn't catch you off guard there. Putin's response to the sanctions levied against Russia by Obama. And Putin says what?
Quote, "We will not expel anyone. We refuse to sink to kitchen diplomacy." Basically, that is fancy talk for here's a middle finger.
Kitchen diplomacy. I'm going to have to look that one up.
And that's on the heels of the cute little lame duck message that came out from the Russian embassy.
Boy, Trump just laying out MSNBC and CNN. That wow.
Russians are playing CNN and NBC for such NBC. Fools. Wow. Funny to watch. They don't have a clue. Fox News totally gets it.
Take a look back here. Some of the best moments from Donald Trump of 2016. More fun with protesters. He likes to get physical with these protesters.
Here's a guy throwing punches, nasty as hell, screaming and everything else. Like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
I love it.
Let me ask you this, Nigel. Knowing what we know about politics, where everything is staged and set up, do you think he planted some of these people?
No. There is no need to plant. There was plenty of real people that hated him. There's no need to do a plant, you know. No need to do that. There was absolutely, you know, this guy was not.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
This guy was not a plant. He was there because he hated Trump. Let's do another protester then.
Bye-bye. I love the old days, you know. You know what I hate? There's a guy totally disruptive, throwing punches. We're not allowed to punch back anymore. Do you know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks.
Can I play for you, Hammer, one of the most awkward moments during the Trump-Clinton debate?
There were a lot.
There was, boy, I think it was the moment after Clinton brought up his locker room talk.
Sure.
It was released on TMZ. And Trump just went for the jugular, and things got, to me, this was like horribly awkward, because I don't know, I'll just play it for you.
If you look at Bill Clinton, far worse, minor words, and his was action. His was what he's done to women. There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women.
The camera's just on Hillary's face. She's just sitting there blinking her eyes, acting like nothing's wrong.
But what President Clinton did, he was impeached. He lost his license to practice law. He had to pay an $850,000 fine to one of the women, Paula Jones, who's also here tonight. And I will tell you that...
That's right. I forgot he trotted out all Clinton's accusers over the past 25 years. They were sitting in the front row.
It was like a Springer episode. Let's bring her out, Paula Jones!
When Hillary brings up a point like that, and she talks about words that I said 11 years ago, I think it's disgraceful, and I think she should be ashamed of herself, if you want to know the truth.
Now, my other favorite moment from the debates, and you mentioned this already, Hammer, is when, this one right here.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah. Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Drop the mic. That line right there, Nigel, that simple line changed a lot of momentum.
You think?
Of the law in our country.
Yeah. Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Because he was coming off of a debate where he did not do real well, and he had to show up for that debate. And that line right there was what people who had supported Trump were waiting for. He tried to play sounding presidential too much in the first couple of debates.
Yep.
That was what people, his supporters, were waiting for. He delivered it, and from that moment on, I think he had a lot of momentum.
And since then, he's backed off of the whole Hillary going to jail thing. Did you ever think that that was going to be a real thing? You never thought? Because I know a lot of people didn't, were expecting. That was one of his campaign promises.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not anticipating anything to happen to Hillary. I'll be shocked if construction begins on a wall anytime soon. But as long as he can take care of the vets, support the police officers, stop screwing with my paycheck, I think his main supporters will be okay with it.
Because you'd be in jail.
That turned a big tide right there, that line.
Well, Let's see what else here. Oh, he was in our home state of Indiana and got booed with good reason, Hammer. He brought up Tom Brady.
That Republican voters want Donald Trump as their nominee. That's it.
He did get booed once.
In Massachusetts, I almost broke 50%. Well, Tom Brady likes me, so that's good. That helps when Tom Brady likes you, because Tom is a great guy. he's a good guy.
If you know anything about Indiana, the Colts fans of Indiana hate the Patriots and Tom Brady. So you don't bring up Tom Brady in a rally in Indiana and expect the people clap for him. Right.
You bring up Bob Knight, which he did. You tried to make some references that work in your home state, but bringing up Tom Brady, the longtime nemesis of Peyton Manning, that's not going to fly.
Hammer, remember when Donald Trump said that he could shoot somebody and still be voted for?
The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible. No, they say, Trump, we love you too, man.
Well, it depends on who he shot. Let's be honest. It depends on who he shot.
Here is the Donald Trump mocking a seriously overweight heckler.
You know, it's amazing. I mentioned food stamps, and that guy who's seriously overweight went crazy. He went crazy.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Amazing.
Is that the worst or best? I don't know. I'm not sure which.
Yeah. We talked earlier in this week that don't be shy. Take your shirt off when you go to the pool. Take your shirt off when you go to the beach, because there's always somebody fatter. But on the flip side of that, if you're going to pop off at the mouth at somebody, you better not be a lard ass.
Because you'll get called out.
Right.
Especially by Donald Trump. But here, Hammer, my favorite Donald Trump clip of 2016.
If we are attacked, somebody attacks us, wouldn't you rather have Trump as president if we're attacked? Oh, we'll beat the shit out of them.
Yes. After 8 years of playing candy ass, there's somebody there now ready to throw a sucker punch.
I've never heard any other president do that, say that kind of thing. I've never heard that before. The guys at the podium speak. I mean, he just gets fired up.
We'll beat the shit out of them.
It's a total throwback to like the 50s, the 40s, right? Where you just didn't give a damn and you won the fight.
People at MSNBC, Hammer, really didn't know what to think. We have like a before and after montage here, right?
Right. So throughout the entire presidential campaign, MSNBC could not stand Donald Trump. And we've got a little before and after. The first clip is from the very beginning, when Donald Trump had just announced he was going to run for president. And the final clip is the reaction of Rachel Maddow when he won.
Now, you may have noticed that I have not yet included Donald Trump in our coverage of the Republican presidential campaign this season, and that is because he is obviously never going to be president. He is obviously never going to be the Republican nominee for president, and he is obviously never going to be a candidate for president.
Now, obviously.
Who was that?
That was Lawrence O'Donnell.
Quite honestly, the two guys here in the studio believed the same thing. You and I believe the same thing, right? I didn't think he had a chance.
I thought he would run. I thought it was a publicity stunt, if anything, but he would run.
What he is going to be is the host of a TV series in which former celebrities are mean to each other.
Okay, so that was the before, and now the heartbreaking after.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country.
Rachel Maddow. Wow. Not over the top in the least bit. Not at all.
Not dramatic enough right there. Coming up next on the Hammer and Nigel show, the Red Solo Cup guy died.
Not Toby Keith. Toby Keith is fine.
Maybe we could come back with some Toby Keith, and I'll explain what I mean next. The Hammer and Nigel show, in for Chad Benson.
Fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Okay, I've never heard this. Who is this?
Toby Keith.
Okay, Toby Keith. All right, that's hilarious. Hammer and Nigel Show. In for Chad Benson. The guy that invented the Red Solo Cup died this week.
Oh, no.
And what I didn't know about the Red Solo Cup, and Phil alerted this to me, is that there's three lines in the Red Solo Cup. There's one that is 1.5 ounce line. That's for the liquor, so you know how much you're pouring.
Okay.
And then there's another line halfway up the cup that's about 5 ounces. That's for wine. And then there's another line at the top for beer. So you know exactly how much you're pouring. 1.5, 8 ounces, and then, or 5 ounces, and then 12 ounces.
What if you pour liquor all the way to the top line, like a friend of mine has been known to do?
That's not what that's for.
Okay.
You're only supposed to pour 1.5 ounces. But yeah, the guy, his son has been quoted as saying that the Red Solo Cup was never intended for keggers or tailgates.
Stop it.
But that's kind of the way it ended up, and I wonder how many Red Solo Cups are going to be used and bought and thrown away this New Year's Eve weekend.
Frat guys around the country with their hats on backwards doing a salute to the inventor of the Red Solo Cup at keggers.
Yeah, and then, of course, beer pong.
Yeah. Tailgates.
Sure.
You go to any football game, get the cooler out, man, have some Red Solo Cups, pour some beer in, you're ready to roll. But what a great line you can use, though, if you're his son. Hey, my dad invented that Red Solo Cup you're drinking out of, sweet thing.
And it's just so, I mean, that's just random enough that people would believe it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's one of those realistic lies. Right. You know, normally people would come up to try to impress a girl and say, right, yeah, my dad owns so-and-so Ford down the street, or, yeah, my dad's a millionaire, some investment banker. Somebody comes up to you and says, my dad invented the Red Solo Cup.
That's
believable.
Exactly. And I think did you try to hit on a girl one time? What was the story you told?
When I was back in college, there was this real hot, curvy, beautiful woman at the bar. Kind of had one of those retro rock and roll t-shirts on that said Guns N' Roses. Real tight. Man, she looked good. So I went up and I was talking to her. And in order to strike up a conversation, the line I used was, seeing her shirt, when I was younger, I won an MTV contest where I got to blow the whistle in the song Paradise City. This is a true story.
This is not true.
That's me. That's me right there.
You told a girl that's you blowing the whistle in Paradise City.
I won a contest from MTV, and I got flown out to L.A.,
yeah,
and I got to blow the whistle in the song Paradise City for Guns N' Roses.
You're like George Costanza, you know?
Elaine, I once told a woman that I coined the phrase, pardon my French.
Yes, I'm exactly like George Costanza.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I ever really made anything up to try to hook up with a gal. I do remember being at a gentleman's establishment when I was younger. It was in rock radio, playing rock music. And I had the Three Doors Down tickets in my pocket.
Oh, you know, popular rock band had that hit, Kryptonite.
Yeah, and they were coming to town like the next night. And so I was in a gentleman's establishment with some buddies. I think it was a bachelor party. And I had ran out of singles.
Uh-oh.
I had ran out of ones.
Uh-oh.
And so I tried to impress the woman that I was hanging out with by pulling out tickets and tucking them.
No, you did not.
She almost went and got the bouncer. I tucked.
You tipped a stripper with concert tickets.
Not only concert tickets, but free promo tickets I got through the radio station.
Sitting in the boondock seats way up in the rafters, three doors down.
I do want to say a big. I'm not.
That's so good.
I've got a lot I'm not proud of in my.
That is so
in
good.
My life. Yeah, I was almost asked to leave. We do want to say thank you to Chad Benson for having us in this week, right?
Thank you so much, man.
This has been a lot of fun. And I don't. Did you hear the? I heard Chad Benson talking about us last week.
Last week on his show, yeah.
This is here's Chad Benson mentioning us.
By the way, any reply? Who do we have? Hammer and Nigel the first 2 days next week, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Hammer and Nigel. You guys don't have to kiss. You don't have to say, oh, thank you, Chad, for being here. Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, no, don't. I was listening to a couple of people last night who are filling in, and the praise and the ass-kissing for the host that they had were true. I don't need any of that.
Well, with that being said, if you don't want us to kiss your ass, let us be the latest to thank you by saying go to hell. Is that what you want?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Let's end on a fun note. Here is Paul McCartney Hammer talking about how kids shouldn't listen to his records on the iPhone. Oops, here we go.
You're in a studio and you're trying to make it absolute the best quality, the best experience for someone listening to it. And unfortunately, the kids are going to listen to a lot of it on phones and not even put the headphones in. So your records are...
Paul McCartney, a legendary icon, making sound effects of what his records sound like when you listen to it on an iPhone.
So your records are...
You should play that with Phil Collins.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I want to say thanks to Phil, too, our producer.
Yeah, he had a deal with us all week long, man, and we could not have done this without Phil's help.
Phil, hope you guys have us back, man.
I look forward to working with you guys again.
Yeah, happy new year. Enjoy your eggs and bacon and your booze.
And be safe. Anybody that's listening to this right now, be safe. If something looks fishy, if you see something, say something. And call an Uber if you're drunk. It's not that hard.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. One more time in for Chad Benson.
So your records are...
The Chad Benson Show.